Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host Han Dron. Good evening, Han.
Good evening, Jim. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Yes, without a doubt. Straight Talk, HJT Design, episode number 23. 2019 top trends for the dental office design. It's going to be an interesting show tonight. Wanted to share with our listeners, we just had another country on our list of listeners and or downloads from our podcast, and that's Portugal. So we added Australia last week, and now Portugal is on the list. So we're ticking down through all the countries and across the world, and maybe one day we'll hit them all. But we're really excited about that, and excited about the opportunity to spend another 60 minutes or so going over tonight's subject, which is, of course, the trends that happen in the dental office design. So Han's going to be doing the lion's share of tonight's show because, you know, that's his forte, is dealing with the design aspects of the dental office. You know, every year brings a bunch of changes to everybody. You know, no matter what the region is, year in, year out, there are bunches of changes that just happen naturally. But there's a few common design trends that come up when you look at your dental office design, and tonight we want to talk about those and discuss them, specifically the newer ones and ones that you might want to utilize and maybe you've never thought about or at least want to investigate. You know, whether you're planning a new office or a remodel, it doesn't really matter. Each one of these trends that we're going to be talking about could possibly have its place. And obviously, you know, you want to position yourself to take advantage of these latest and exciting trends because we all know that you want to update, you want to keep your place fresh, you want to create an environment that is alive and exciting and new. And those are all those wonderful things. You know, go back to our other podcasts and that talk about a lot of things when it comes to the design and design aspects. And obviously, if you have any questions or would love to call in and ask us a question, you can catch us on our call-in number of 657-383-1442, or at any time, get us through our website at www.hjtdesign.com. So with that introduction, I'm going to just jump right into some of the topics that I put on my list that I want Han to at least address, and then obviously he has some that I'm sure that he will integrate in. But one of the things that comes to mind when I think about top trends is color. So specifically bright and bold color accents. What do you think about that topic, Han, and what's been out there?
I think it's a, first of all, we all need colors, okay? When you think of healthcare, it doesn't have to be cold and sterile and white, because we need colors in our life. It sets the mood, it sets the tone, it creates style. Color may be just a kind of generic term, but I think we can throw in textures and things like that as well. If you have a new office that you're building and stuff like that, naturally you're going to paint it or you're going to decorate it and you're going to, you know, create a environment that that's going to tell the story about you, tell the story about your style, your preferences and stuff like that. color is one, if you have an existing building whether it's been 5 or 10 years or older, using color can really give you a fresh look with very little investment involved, because paint is cheap. The only thing that costs in changing color is time. Okay, you can do it, in small chunks at a time, or you can do it in a couple of days of shutting it down. But color is important. There is not a, in my opinion, there's not a right or wrong color. There is a color that appropriate, and so on. I think if you need to choose a color that are suitable for your own office, for your own region, for your own theme. I myself like burnt orange, okay, because I think it's a cool color. If you see a bright lime green sports car running down the road one day, I'm in it because I like bold color. But that may not be your taste. You may want to be a little bit more subdued. When we design offices and we pick out colors, this is just my particular taste, okay? We don't design it to my taste or our taste. We design it to your taste. We pick out colors that are representative of your style, and we make recommendation to do, you know, to up the game. I never or rarely paint four walls of a room the same color. There's always an accent color, okay? That accent color, to make it a little bit more bolder, it adds interest in the room. So when you look at a color, you walk into the front door, a patient walk into the front door for the first time, you pick out the wall that you want to really bring to their attention, and you paint a color that complementary, that tie together your color theme. So maybe a color out of your carpet or your artwork or whatever it is. But color plays a very important important factor in setting the mood. If you have kids, if you service a lot of children and stuff like that, some color can excite them. Some color can mellow them down. Red, in my opinion, is one of those colors that really, really drive the kids, cause them to climb the wall. You know, when you look at restaurant, why do they use red? Because it's supposed to stimulate your saliva, your taste bud. So they want you to eat naturally. That's what they do. The color is one of those trendy things that every year the industry pick out, a few colors that they think is going to be the color of the year. My opinion is there's things that call fads, and there's things that call trend. And then there's things that we try to stick with is called timeless. So you can keep things mellow and add a little color here and there to accentuate the things that you want to feature, but you don't want to go crazy with, color that you thought that would be just exciting. Don't go with the hot pink because that's your favorite color. Make it so that it's good for everyone, not just, you personally. Okay, it has to.
Well, if you want an interesting exercise, when you talk about industry standards, go to a company by the name of Pantone, Pantone. It is a company that deals with color specifically, and in the printing industry, and quite a lot of designers, both interior and architects, along with painting companies and you just name it, use that as kind of like the gold standard of the coloration spectrum. So you can type in and look at color of the year or color of 2018 or 2019. And it's kind of funny. The color for 2018 was ultraviolet. So basically a muted violet color. And the color for 2019 is called living coral. So it's a pinkish coral color. And, you know, if you want to know what the trend is for a particular year or a particular time, that's one area that you could look at to at least identify, you know, what colors are being looked at. And these colors you will see make their way through everything. Everything from the merchandise that we buy to the materials, colorations at the stores, the building industry trades, even colorations on, you know, cars and vehicles and appliances, all of it. It really does have an impact, as Hans said. And you'd want to be very careful, but at the same time, you have the opportunity to, let's say, use an accent wall. And that accent wall may be the thing that you change out on a periodic basis. We're not saying every year, but, you know, maybe every couple years or so you decide that you're going to change that color or change this color to give a little bit of excitement and energy to your space.
Yeah, it's a simple change. Really, it's just a simple change that could bring a big impact, and it could be simply a change of one color in the office.
Exactly.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be paint. It doesn't have to be color on the walls. It could be things like furniture. It could be things like artwork. It could be all that stuff. It could even be your staff uniforms.
Yep.
So
you can be as creative or as boring as you want. Just change it up once in a while and give it a fresh look.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that Bill does, which I think is very, I think it's an exceptional idea. I'm sorry. Where, you know, the staff all has a certain color that they wear that particular day, that particular day of the week.
Uniform.
So, you know, uniforms for today is going to be this, and you've got your clinical staff, and then of course you have your front desk staff. And they may be different. They're not all the same. But then, you know, it adds for variety, it adds for interest, and it just adds an energy to the atmosphere, which is what we're talking about. And that, you know, yep. That's probably one of the biggest trends that we're seeing out there, that it isn't that old sterile hospital garb that everyone is used to. Well, the next topic that trend that we've seen and we've heard and it's been discussed is entertainment. So obviously, that could add a billion different things. So I'll let Han jump into it and not take too much of his time.
Yeah, I mean, entertainment could be anything. If you have, I myself is in the mindset that the quieter the room, the better it is for the soul. Okay. But there is plenty of offices and or public places where you can't hear yourself think because every inch of every wall is covered with the biggest monitor that the owner can get their hands on. The whole thing. Hence the sport bar. All right. It seems like every restaurant you go to, you can't get away from noise. Entertainment could be simply, a TV on the wall. That loop on something that a program that are soothing, you know, perhaps sport. For some of us that's a daily staple. Perhaps news, but then that gets a little too stressful. But whatever it is, TV seems to be the big major common denominator for a lot of offices. it allow your patient to escape, and those that don't care for it, they plug in their, their ear set, and they can check their mail and listen to a podcast or whatever. So entertainment, it's almost, it served multiple purposes for different crowds. You have, I think there was a trend, and still it seems like it's fading away. If you call it entertainment, but you have your internet bars. We have the offices that are set where our clients still like to have them, which is, in my humble opinion, it's a dying over waste of space, because a lot of time now, even little 5-6 year old kids have their own little iPhone or iPad that they plug into. I certainly don't encourage that, but it seems like everybody's plugged into a device of some sort. So, dedicating a spot in your some real estate in your office for a internet bar seems so old school. Okay, very few people anymore that actually bring their laptop, go to your office to do work while they wait on the family. Remember to get their teeth clean or whatever the case. Entertainment is huge, particularly more important in the operatories. The general consensus is that it helped to distract the patient from the work that's done, so that way they can be entertained while you work on them. It can get to a point where you have, because it's gotten a little crazy, where a TV is mounted at the toe of the chair, a TV is mounted on the ceiling, a TV to the right for the doctor, or the monitor to the right, monitor to the back. So it's almost like, the room, we try to keep the room less cluttered, and then we put everything on the wall to make it more clutter. All right. There's a balance that I think you need to find for your own personal office. There is office that I've heard that have absolutely no TV in the treatment room except the monitor for presenting the case and education for the client. For the patient. Okay, but entertainment seems like a big part of our life.
Yeah. And that also could be as easy as creating your own station, commercial, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That it's like, this is a further advertisement, also tells about what, is available to the patient, all that stuff. And it could be broadcast both through the monitors and televisions throughout the practice, but as well, you can get them on your personal handheld device while you're there through a Wi-Fi connection. So,
Jim, that allows for
a whole lot of interaction, and especially in the newer
education.
Yeah, education, and also in the younger group who are more, as Hans calls it, plugged in. They eat, sleep, and drink that stuff. And so to them to be able to communicate with them in that manner is more of a trend, but it's one that we don't see going away. We see actually
that's right.
Something that's going to be even further enhanced. So you need to jump on that and actually begin really looking at how that should work.
Jim, let me elaborate on a couple of other items. I think the technology, there's a coin, a phrase that's been coined. It's called technology addiction. Okay, and it has nothing to do with dentistry, but you look at the technology that is available to the public nowadays. And, whether you want to introduce them to your office and stuff like that, have continuity with their, with the patient's life and stuff like that, it's a consideration. There's two things that I saw that I thought was an unusual trend. One is in Dr. Bill's office, there seems like a resurrection of pinball machines. He likes that. I like that. I don't know if you play that, Jim. Anything that can entertain, but as long as it doesn't make too much racket, then designing and placing it carefully in your office will allow them to enjoy that without disrupting the office. There's one other item that I saw that I thought was unusual, and it didn't take off across the country. Is the theater room. If you have to have a theater room in part of your waiting area, I would say it's nice to have, but it has so many other downsides that we don't have enough time to address. But if your patient have that much time in the waiting room to watch a movie, your schedule need to be looked at. Okay.
Yeah, you're not making money.
Okay. Yeah. I'm done with that.
You're not making money. Well, let's jump into that next subject because it actually transitions pretty well. And that's the idea of bring the comforts of home to the office. Obviously there's a whole lot of things, but what do you think about that one, Hon?
Well, I think, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. Okay. No disrespect. When I look at a dentist's office, I relate it to a mom and pop business. And, it's usually a small, cozy building, roughly 3,000 plus square feet. So it's like a large home. Naturally, you spend a lot of, if you're the owner of the practice, you have a lot of leeway in making it as comfortable as you want. Naturally, you spend a lot of time away from home, and you make it an extension of your home. It could be, if you're into quilting or have an aquarium and things like that, you can bring that in. Things that makes it a little bit more homey is artwork, possibly a fireplace, hopefully not one that are burning with real logs and stuff like that, because it's always, for me, is that when we design, we look at how do we make it more safer, okay? Having a real burning wood fireplace kind of contradicts that particular objective. The type of furniture, the type of artwork, there's a number of things that you do that make it homey, down to the lighting. In fact, at one time, one of the trends that we saw was a big thing at one time was Amos cookies, all right? Who doesn't love oatmeal cookies and hot coffee? Okay, so it was almost every practice you go to, there is a plate of hot cookies. Naturally it makes you feel welcome, you feel pampered and homey. That had gone away for the most part. If you introduce that kind of stuff to your office, the things that I would have to share is anything that you introduce require more manpower. And somebody has to maintain it, take care of it, clean it up, and stuff like that. They are taken away from the core of what they're there for. It's not a right or wrong, but as long as you make accommodation and plan for that, those introduction of things that makes it more homey would be handled appropriately. Design features such as fireplace and things like that. I tend to go with the electronic stuff so it doesn't have, potential of fire, potential of kids getting hurt because they didn't know. Because kids nowadays are unsupervised for the most part. They're like free-range kids. So making sure that your office, whatever you do, whatever you introduce to, whatever the Fed is, that you take into consideration the safety of the occupant and your pocketbook at the same time.
One of the things that we've seen as being a trend is, you know, in the day and age of the Starbucks folks, and everyone likes their coffee, their lattes, their espressos, and everything else, is the drink station, the coffee pot, the coffee maker, and how it has evolved and changed to, Han, you were talking about this ungodly expensive, but make your own kind of thing. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, there's a company, I do believe it's called Coffee Aroma. And I saw it the first time probably 10 years ago at a Lazy Boy furniture shop. And my wife was pointing out what a fantastic machine. You can get tea of all sorts. You can get coffee of all flavor. You're talking about the gourmet of gourmet coffee machine. If you have a Keurig machine in your office, you're poor, okay? This machine is like magical. And I look into it because they make everything you can imagine. $5,000 for this machine, okay? Don't do it, all right? It doesn't make you money. But it was a fantastic looking thing. It makes great coffee, but it's a $5,000 machine that will give you a lot of bragging rights. All right, that's all you get, bragging rights.
Well, maybe a price has come down in 10 years.
No, I don't think so. All right, but gourmet coffee, beverage station. You know, I've heard of juices. Bottled water, there's all kind of stuff that offices are trying to differentiate themselves from, you know, their neighbors or their competitors, or to make them stand out. Beverage stations is one of those things that have gotten pretty, pretty crazy. You know, I myself is a strong believer in the KISS philosophy. All right, I call it keep it simple, sweetheart, because it just simplify your life, okay? A cup of coffee with a little sugar, a little cream is more than enough, all right? But that's me, okay? I don't get too gourmet, right, Jim?
Yeah, exactly. Well, obviously, it's you've really got to get on the pulse of your patient base and what they think and what they like, and that's one way to really enamor them more about you and your practice. Speaking of the base and the folks that are out there, the next topic is one of, you know, everybody talks about things about, you know, green and green this and green that, but, you know, the eco-friendly style has got a following of individuals out there. And, you know, the trends that we're seeing are what, Han?
Well, it's a mouthful. It's a very, I think if you ask everyone, excuse me, if you ask every individual to define what is ecologically friendly means, they all have a different, interpretation. Okay. Is there a trend? I do believe there is, that I'm seeing gaining momentum is life wall, okay, or living wall, which is basically it could be an accent wall with live plants, moss particularly, things that doesn't require a lot of maintenance, doesn't require a lot of daylight. That add a nice touch into your office. It feature and let the patient base know that that you care to provide that you are on board with the environmental movement. One of the things that that started to gain momentum, I think around roughly 15 years ago, was the touch-free apparatus. Like when you go into a bathroom, for instance, you no longer you're seeing it more and more where to use soap, you don't no longer have to touch the dispenser. To dry your hand, there's no longer paper towel, but you know, hand blower or air blower. So there's a lot of things that you can use to help the environment. You do your part so that collectively it helps all of us. To me the trend in at least in the dental environment, there is things specific to the clinical area, but things in the public area are more in tune or more knowledgeable with. So define what it is that what it means to you, whether it's a recycling program, and things like that. So it's appropriate for the the environment you're in, the client base or the patient base that you service. Because if you are in the Midwest versus the West Coast or the Northeast Coast and things like that, where the patient is a lot more ecologically demanding or in tune, then you set up your office to match their particular perspective and needs.
And that could also stand. Yeah, that could also go into the area of the type of lighting that you utilize: LED versus fluorescent versus incandescent. Type of
mechanical equipment.
Mechanical equipment, and it also can go into the area of your finishes, specifically things like. I want to use the thing of exposed concrete that's been polished and stained versus a wood floor, for example. Each one have a different connotation, and so one's more eco-friendly than the other. They all have their place in certain places. So something to think about, some areas to look at, but we tend to see the desire to, in that particular topic, the trend is to get away from the produced, highly expensive when it comes to the environment, materials that take a lot of energy and a lot of material and a lot of resources to be able to create, whereas in more of a minimal resource energy user can be something that can be integrated into the building or the space or the facility that is, as they say, more ecologically friendly. Go ahead.
You look at it like, let's say for instance, flooring material, okay, natural fiber. Like wool, it costs you a little bit more, but it lasts forever. I mean, literally forever. Cork is another material that are natural, that's sustainable, and have a lot of environmental benefits that you typically don't see in commercial space and things like that. So there's a number of things that can be implemented and used. To kind of match up with your own philosophy pertaining to the environment.
And that jumps into the next trend subject that we have is called naturalistic designs. And this goes into the aspect of things like natural light and acoustics and those kind of things. Han, do you want to elaborate on those?
Yeah, I think the topic is probably not as broad as we like it to be. That naturally depends on what your, if you are located in a shopping center or a medical office building, commercial office building, or have your own building. The more that you can harness or capture natural lighting, the better overall mental state of being for you and your staff. I think if you're in a retail shop, it's very, very rare that you can have natural lighting. So because naturally, unless you're at the end cap, you only have some window in the front, and you can't bring it all the way into the back to take advantage of that. And we have not run into a situation where the landlord will allow you to put in skylights. Okay, if you own your own building, use high performance glass. Use clear stories. Use borrow light, which is basically clear stories in interior walls. Clear story is basically windows at the higher elevation above the natural, eye level, so that it brings light into the building. A light shelf is another item. If you are in a interior room and you want to have natural light and you can't implement or utilize borrow light, you can install light tubes, which is basically a tube that has a highly reflective side and material inside that bring light from the outside in into the space. We've done that in some of the spaces that where the occupant say, I need light. I need lots of light. And but we have, but we can't put in any windows to provide that. So we put in light tubes, okay? There is technology that allow, that can monitor and switches the electrical lighting system down on your artificial lighting if there's enough sufficient natural light in the space, whether it's from borrow light, windows, or skylights type. So natural light is something that is an absolute plus in your space. So get that as much as you can. Of course, the more glass you have in your building, the less privacy. I think it's an issue. Those things can be addressed based on design, on some of the design tricks that we use. I think that's about as natural as I can get in terms of the topic.
Yeah. I mean, it also incorporates things like open spaces, green garden spaces that also could be integrated into your facility. There's a lot of areas, and these kind of trends kind of bounce across the topic spectrum because the green wall that you were talking about also falls into the naturalistic design area because it is it's a living wall. But it also adds to the mood altering properties of the space. Obviously we all know that natural light is well known for boosting your mood properties, and it really does help to reduce anxiety. What's one of the biggest things you have with your patient base coming into the dental office? Anxiety.
High level anxiety. Yeah.
Yeah, and you want to help reduce that. So how can you do that? These are some of the things that can help. Another is, and Han, you and I talked a little bit about this before the show, is the old aromatherapy and everything that goes around that.
Yeah, and that in itself is, I think you can say it falls under the homey feel, okay? How often you go into a business establishment and you go, oh my gosh, somebody just baked an apple pie. It reminds me of going to grandma's house. Okay, aromatherapy, it's still being utilized. for for a number of reasons. You have in a dentist office, there is a particular odor. Now, I don't want to say odor, scent. That say, yeah, this is, you know, this is what a dentist office smell like. If you want to mask that, and I think that's where the aromatherapy come in. They kind of tone it down and stuff. But do be mindful. Not everybody embrace the scent that you like, whether it's vanilla, lavender. It need to be, I think it need to be used cautiously.
Without a doubt.
Because I know in high school, it's like my last class of the day, I always get migraine for some reason. And when I walk into the last class, that's when it get triggered. And it was narrowed down to a perfume that one of my classmates wore, and she just happened to sit right in front of me. So there's people that get triggered and they had migraines and have negative reaction to aromatherapy. So kind of use that, like I say,
gingerly. Yeah, very gingerly.
Oh, delicately. Okay.
Yeah, without doubt.
But it's another thing that helps make your home, your office more like home. Coffee, the smell of coffee, fresh meat, fresh brewed coffee. Who doesn't like that? Okay. It's natural. I haven't run into anybody say, oh my God, the smell of coffee drives me up the wall. I haven't yet. Okay. So. It's you find something that works, to a smaller limit, test it out.
Yeah. Now one area that you don't want to do cautiously is the technology. Basically, this next topic is what we consider technology takeover, and. We touched base on that a little bit in one of our previous or at the beginning subject to having to do with being plugged in. But nowadays, even the oldest practices are fully embracing digital technology. Things like digital sign-in kiosks and where they can supplement their intake desks. And Han, it just goes on endlessly, doesn't it?
That's right. You know, in the old days, we would call and say, Mr. Jarvis, this is so-and-so practice. Just want to remind you that you have an appointment at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Right? Some practices still do that. It's more of a personal, a personal inner connection. If your patient base are a lot older, they may not be as technology savvy, so they still, they still may need that interaction. But nowadays, you get email, you get text, and all technologies have become almost the way that we do business anymore. Okay. It become almost too much, the population that the demographic that you service, look at what they do and gear your office to service them. That's just what it is, okay? Whether it's overload or addictive, it is what it is. If you need to have Wi-Fi, if you need to have them sign out an iPad or whatever the case is. You look at what your budget for it, what technology that you that you can handle, and or want to introduce. Now, one of the things is one of the questions that you may ask me, would you like what movies would you like to see? Okay, in the old day it was more like go to the wall, pick out a VHS, you know, a movie that you like, and you plug it in, and you get to watch that. Nowadays, you can scan, you know, all kind of venue to get, you know, the right movie or the right music, and you give them a lot of choice, a lot of freedom. So all that is delivered via technology. You know, the only thing we haven't had yet is a robot dentist. Yet.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But, you know, it does extend both in the office and out of the office, as you were saying, Han. So the idea of reminding the patient of their upcoming appointment via, you know, technology, via text, via an email, scheduling that in such a way that they can confirm that, yes, I will be there, or no, I have to reschedule. The idea of being able to check in with, you know, an actual digital kiosk to sign in that I'm here. Again, tailor this to your client base and where you see them going. But keep in mind that your client base may change. It's not static. It's not going to be the same year after year after year. So you have to constantly be monitoring this to see how things are beginning to evolve, you know, how the culture is adjusting things. And if you need to be no longer on, what was that one platform a long time ago called MySpace on? I think there was the MySpace and all those other things, and those are all dead. And, you know, went to the Twitters and the Facebooks and those kind of things. And I, Lord knows where it's at now. It could be something else that the younger kids are into, which will eventually turn into the young adults and eventually turn into the adults and so on. So it evolves. It changes.
Yeah,
you have to keep ideas on those trends.
We actually, I mean, other, you know, technologies is such a broad base too. We're not talking about the clinical stuff, okay, yet. You know, we took advantage of technology on a project one time that, you know, thank God it was available. It was the waterless, fishless aquarium. Okay, we did a virtual aquarium for Bill's office because at that time we didn't want to kill any fish. We didn't want to deal with water humidity, but we want the patient to have at least a view of so-called a fish tank. And so we used a big screen TV and a looped program to allow them to have that, to allow Bill's office to have that. And we took advantage of that technology to achieve what we want to achieve. So technology is a good thing. It just advancing so fast that what you have in your hand nowadays is migrating to your wrist, you know, the cell phone. It's incredible. It's just an absolutely incredible what is available to us and how fast things evolve.
Yeah, and I can tell you this, Vaughn, that's the most vibrant, cleanest, nicest aquarium I've ever seen.
No dead fish. I like that.
It is. And you know what? You could add fish to it.
What?
You can change it out. You can even change the scenery so it doesn't get old over the years.
That's right. That's right. And that was cheap. Okay.
Well, compared to what it takes to maintain a real fish tank, yeah. Those things are not inexpensive.
I'm sorry. Cheap was not the right word. It was economical.
It was economical. There you go.
There you go. All right.
Right. Well, let's talk about one of the next trends, and that really has to do with privacy. Privacy for your patient. In this day and age where everything is broadcast everywhere to the world through the technologies that we were just talking about, one of the things we have to really, really, really look at is how do you maintain the necessary privacy because this is a health care facility.
We're not talking, I don't think we're talking about HIPAA, okay? I think just general privacy, okay?
Privacy.
Sound, sight, and general noise. There is technology that allow you to acquire some of the speech privacy between treatment rooms. The trend in dental office design is a semi-open operatory, meaning that you have walls. You have four walls, and you have doorways typically without doors, just doorways. There's no physical doors. So if you happen to have a patient or a staff member that are a little bit more robust voice, that can carry from to the next room or the next two rooms. So there is, the placement of the treatment rooms and things like that is important. Scheduling can play a role in privacy, and we're not talking about just visual privacy. We're talking about noise privacy. So if you have a person that, let's say, I think you call them screamers, that would be the person that you schedule into a operatory that actually have doors. We call it the quiet rooms. So that way, the rest of the staff, the rest of the occupant in the building, in the front, don't have to hear that person's, throwing a fit. Okay, there is a number of things that you can use to tone down the noise level in the office. That could be strategically placed. Use carpet where clinical treatment is not done, like in your hallway in the offices, but not in the operatory or sterilization. There is product that you can use, such as specially made drywall that absorbs sound, acoustic ceiling that has higher noise absorbency quality. There are product that that you hang on, look like panels of fabric with insulation that you can hang on your wall to absorb sound. When it comes to visual privacy, placement of doors, opening in wall, your waiting room, and things like that, so that the line of sight is not, it can be managed and controlled. So there's a lot of things that can be utilized. There's a lot of trick of the trade that can be utilized to minimize and manage those privacy issues. If you have an old office and that's an issue, then it should be looked at on a case-by-case scenario, and it can be addressed rather effectively without deconstruction and rebuild. Okay, there's nothing that cannot be done to some level of satisfaction. Jim?
Yes, without a doubt. Well, let's jump into the last subject that we have in way of trends, and it really is an interesting one, but at the same time, one that is unique to you and how you like to practice. And we title it as efficient layout. And so, a dental office needs to be, appealing to the senses, but it also needs to be functional. And the trends that we are beginning to see is how can you make a dental office more efficient, increasing the functionality of that office in such a way that it helps basically the bottom line. But you have to be so careful. We're seeing things move to more open floor plans, like Han was talking about, smaller treatment operatories, But there is that fine line of when does it become too small or too efficient or too...
There's no such thing as too efficient, Jim.
Well, not in the sense of too efficient, but efficiency takes over and it becomes obtrusive to the fact that it's this small, dinky little operatory because, by God, now we've got six operatories in the same space that we should have had five. But it's uncomfortable.
There was a discussion about that. I think some folks believe that given the bragging rights that they can squeeze 20 treatment rooms into a 2,000 square feet space. A little exaggeration. Okay. There is a guideline. There is a critical mass of what you can provide. Okay. We haven't really discussed that much. Is that the rule of thumb for a dentist's office or any building that you're going to have people in? Next time you go to a restaurant, for instance, somewhere by the door, there's a little plaque that say that the occupant limit or number of occupant, maximum occupant limit in this room or this building is 120. Okay? That means that you can have only 120 people in that building because by code, that's what it's allowed. So if you have a practice that's only 2,000 square feet, code allow one person for 100 square feet of floor space. I mean, in your office, you are allowed only 20 people. That's including staff and patients. Okay? So if somebody say, I can squeeze in, eight treatment room into that 2,000 square feet, meaning when you are at maximum capacity, you have eight patients in the chair. The next cycle up waiting to get into those chairs is eight more in the waiting room. That means you are the best, most efficient. You have the best and most efficient dental team in the world. All right? You have four people in your office taking care of those patients. It doesn't happen. Efficiency doesn't mean maximize the number of treatment rooms in your office. That's a balance. Every space that are presented to us as a potential practice, we treat it as a one of a kind. You have to look at everything that are available that cannot be changed. Or can be changed. And then we look at how it can be laid out to address privacy, sight line, relationship between the space, how it can be serviced. What does it feel like when you walk into the space? Is it warm, welcoming? Is it efficient? Is it convenient? All those things, we have a checklist of things that we that we look at in designing it so that it meets its optimum functionality, statically, efficiently, and all that good stuff. It's not a single, one size fit all. If the space only allows so much that can be fit in it, so that it meets all the need clinical. Staff and the public need, then that's all I can. Okay. If you need more than that, then a larger space would need to be acquired. Okay. Jim, do you want to add anything else to that?
Well, one of the design trends that we're seeing more of, and Han, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is the area of cabinetry within the operatories, where the cabinetry on the doctor's sides is being eliminated. And we only have cabinets on one side to effectively make the room a little bit more efficient. But a lot of times this all has to do about you, the doctor, and personally how you like to work. But more and more we're seeing that more do not need the cabinets on the doctor side.
Right. That is a trend, and I think it has a valid explanation for it. I think some of the doctors that we have serviced say, no way, I can't live without the cabinets. The side cabinets for my supply and my staff and whatever they, their reason is. And then some say, hey, cabinets cost so much. It's a waste. It's a waste of money because that's a place where, they dump everything that they don't use, and you tied up your supplies and what have you, and so on. There's argument for both. There's legitimacy for both application. It's a personal preference thing. Okay, we don't push one or the other. If you come to us and you say, hey, what do you think about this? And I would ask you, a few questions. It's very simple. I myself have witnessed a person that has a claustrophobic attack. When you heard the word that, a corner animal is a dangerous animal, I witnessed that. It's a frightening thing. It's literally sound like a wild animal inside a room trying to get out. So when you create a space, even if it worked clinically, you have to take that into consideration. Is it too small? An 8 foot wide or 8 foot six wide is sufficient. Some say it's plenty of room for clinical purpose. I find what's interesting is the code applied to the design of dentist offices are rather lax in terms of ADA requirement, HIPAA requirement, and things like that. I'm not saying that it's ignored those requirements. But in terms of the physical space that accommodate ADA is often not looked at. The small treatment room is an area that if you allow the patient to have a companion in the treatment room with you, with the patient in the chair, then you have four bodies typically in the room. That could get a little claustrophobic. The 8.5 foot wide treatment room that's becoming pretty popular nowadays may not meet that, that extra need of having the companion in the room. I do ask questions directly to those that advocate for that type of environment. I've never got a straight, a straight answer, because when you have a 10 foot wide room with the side cabinets, there is a spot in the room that allow for the companion to sit. It's at the far end, on the left corner or the right corner of the room, whichever side you decided were best for them. They're set back away from the chair. If you push the room, inward to 8.5, you move that seat for the companion to be right up to the chair. They can literally touch the chair. Then you are encouraging, I think the term that they call it, either helicopter mom or lawnmower mom. I'm not sure which is appropriate, but they put the parents right there with that patient in the chair. That just kind of uncomfortable and awkward position for you to take care of the patient. Okay, so it is a trend. Right or wrong, you have to make that decision for yourself, for your own personal style of how you want to deliver your dentistry. I've been in, because I'm very curious, so I go and visit as many dental offices as I can, clinic particularly, the public clinics, dental clinics. It's unbelievable how depressing it feels, because the trend in those places are you squeezing as many people as possible. The waiting room is usually cramped. You want them to be relaxed before you take them back in. It's counter of what you're trying to do when you pack people, a lot of people into a tight place. You know, the treatment room are tight, very dimly lit, for whatever reason. It's just not welcoming. So if you're trying to create a, you know, a space that are that promote happiness, that promote relaxation, that people will brag about, that they will tell their friends and, you know, and relatives and stuff like that, everything needs to be looked at and considered, not just simply the size of the treatment room and how tight you can, how little can you spend, and how cheap can you get away with. I think that would be the wrong benchmark, okay? Because you can accomplish a lot in the design, in the furnishing of it, of an office, and you don't have to break the bank.
Exactly. Okay. And I always, you know, not all design trends that we talked about may be right for you, and some of them may be totally wrong. You really have to look at them from a personal standpoint, evaluate those against your client base and what you feel that they will feel comfortable with and will help them to do exactly that, to be able to be less anxious, to reduce that stress, and obviously make them feel more comfortable and make them effectively enjoy the experience more, so that the ultimate goal is that they want to come back and they want to express that same feeling to their friends, so that they come and that their friends' friends come. Because go back to our previous podcast, one of the best marketing strategies that you could have, word of mouth. It gets you so much further so quickly with the minimal amount of investment. So with that, obviously, thank you for being part of our show. And Juan, I'll let you have the last words on anything that we've not covered.
Well, there's one other. You kind of touch on it, Jim, the demographic that you service. Okay. It is important that you define what it is that you that you want to set for your own practice. If you are in rural America, make it rural America. Your friend in New York, have a really, really, high tech, flashy practice. If you take the same thing because you think it's so cool and you put it in the, in a rural setting, in my opinion, that'd be self-sabotaging. Okay. I don't know how many times that we had encounter situation, conversation about upgrading a practice, and the doc wants to do something that are trendy. But the worst thing that you can create for yourself is upgrade a practice that are so way out there that the first thing that your patient, existing and new, come in and they say to you that, this visit is going to hurt me financially because it's going to be expensive. Okay, the message that you want to create, the story that you want to tell with your office decor and things like that, tells a story that has to be balanced for the environment and the client and the patient base you service. Okay, it's important. If you are in the farming community, and you have a Maserati, drive it on the weekend. Don't put it don't put it in front of the building, because it's part of the decor. It's part of the trend. It's part of the message. Okay. I am Jim. I'm good. I don't have any other other topic that I want to discuss from my venture at Dentaltown with. Would that say, I'd just like to let's sign up for the evening. Okay.
Yeah. Well, obviously, all our listeners, thank you for joining us. Hopefully it was educational. You've taken away a few things to at least think about. And with that, we'd obviously look forward to sharing some more thoughts with you next week. And with that, I'd like to say, good evening, and good evening to you, Han.
And good evening, Jim. And thank you for plugging in and joining us for the evening. Until next time, have a good night.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.